Okay, let's get started with Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes, ninth Perek here in Shmuel Beis, and we are discussing David HaMelech still doing what he needs to do to get his king, fulfill everything that he wants as a king. So we know he's not building the Beis HaMikdash. We know he has just expanded the Malchus a little bit, victorious in a couple of wars. And now he looks internally, and this Perek, David HaMelech, searches for any other descendant that is left from the house of Shaul, not Chas V'Shalom, to take revenge, as maybe other kings would do, for somebody who wanted to assassinate him for so many months, but in order to fulfill his promises. He had promised Yehonasan, his best friend, son of Shaul, that he would take care of his descendants, and he even had sworn to Shaul, as we will see. So he looks around and asks and finds, searches, are there any descendants? And he finds one grandson of Shaul, he finds one son of Yehonasan with the help of Tziva. Tziva was a servant of Shaul, and Tziva helped David find a descendant of Shaul, a son of Yehonasan, Mephibosheth, who was mentioned earlier without having done anything, just it was mentioned that as if foreshadowing he was going to come up again. And right here he comes up again, a Nechei Raglayim. He was lame because of an accident that occurred during the battle, and his nurse was running away with him, and she fell, and he became lame. So the king says, where is he? Tziva, the servant, says, well, he's in such and such a house, Beis Bachar Ben Amiel. The king sends for him. Mephibosheth just comes, bows down to David, and says, I am your servant. David says, you have nothing to fear. I just want to fulfill my promise of doing chesed with Yehonasan, your father, and everything that belonged to Shaul is now yours. You are the Yoresh, and I'm doing chesed with you, and you will always eat at my table. And David commands Tziva, that Tziva and his entire family, who are 15 sons and 20 servants, they all have to serve Tziva, and they all have to serve Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth's young son, who is named Micha. And that is how the parak ends, that they lived in Yerushalayim. Mephibosheth is living in the house of David and taken care of by Tziva and his family. Okay, so let's see what significance this parak has. Well, it has significance in general, obviously, of David HaMelech and the type of person that he was. Still, not only when the sons of Shaul were killed, did he wail, and did he tear Kriya, and did he give Kina, but now positively being a warm and gracious king in terms of the descendants of the previous king. So, parak tes. Vayomer David, hachi yesh od asher nosa lebei Shaul. Does anybody know? Does Shaul have anybody else left? Ve'aseimo chesed ba'avur Yehonasan. And I want to do chesed with him because of the covenant that I made with Yehonasan. Remember, we had this back in Shmuel Aleph in Parachaf, Pasik Tezvav. That is where, in the famous Machar Chodesh discussion, where Yehonasan is not sure whether Shaul was really against his best friend or not, and eventually it's clear that it is. So Yonasan realizes that David is going to be the next king. So he says in Parachaf, Ayomer Yonasan al David, Hashem Elokei Yisrael ki echkar es avi, k'eis b'char shlishes, I will check, v'nei tov el David, v'lo az, and if not, eshlach ilecha v'galisi as aznecha, I will let you know. And he says, v'lo sachres es chastacha mi embesi et olam, please don't cut off any chesed from my house forever. V'lo Ba'achris Hashem es oivei David ish mi'afrei adama. Just like Hashem will wipe out the enemies of David, please have rachmanis. Vayichros Yehonasan beis David. David makes a covenant with Yehonasan. Ubikesh Hashem yad oivei David. And the treaty is signed and packed, and Yehonasan is bashbia David. Ba'avasoso ki avas nafsho ahevo. They have tremendous love, and that leads right into the haftorah for Machar Chodesh. So David is fulfilling his covenant here. How did he not know that there were any descendants left? After all, he was married to the daughter of Shaul. So you would think that he was on the in. You would think he has family connections. Point number one, one might say, is that we don't know on what talking terms he was with Michal right now. Right? She was the one that was very upset when he brought the Aron back, and it said she didn't have any kids right earlier in the end of Perek Vav. Well, Michal b'Shaul lo hayala yelad ad Yomosa. That's the last conversation we have between them, where he says, that's why I'm the king and not your father. But number two, it could be that they were in hiding, the Malbim says, after the assassination of Ishbosheth. So all the other descendants were nervous. They didn't know what was going to be, and therefore they went into hiding, and David really didn't know. So that's why he asked. He puts out a calling. Are there any descendants left? Well, the Beis Shaul, Eved, Pasuk Beis, there was an Eved. There was an Eved, the Radak says, an Eved Kenani. I mean, not an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is a full Jew who doesn't have enough money or stole, so he is sold in order to repay what he did or to make some money. An Eved Kenani starts off being a non-Jew. And then he is Tovel, L'shem Avdus Kenani. Now he is somewhere in the middle. He doesn't have full Kedushas Yisrael, but he has something. He's Chayev in Mitzvahs that are not Zman Grama, and eventually he'll have a chance to be able to become a full Jew, or if he rejects it, he will go back to being a non-Jew, as the Rambam discusses in Hilchos Avadim, and as is discussed in the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. But here is an Eved Kenani, Beis Shol Eved Ushmo Tziva, Vayikru Lo El David. The house of Shol had an Eved named Tziva, and they called him to David, Vayomer HaMelech Elav, Ha'ata Tziva, are you Tziva, Vayomer Avdecha? Yes, I am your servant. How is this a... let's just continue first. Vayomer HaMelech, Ha'efes Od Ish LeBeis Shol, is there anyone left in the house of Shol? Ve'eseimo Chesed Elokim, I want to do Chesed with him. So here it doesn't say like it said in the first pasuk, I want to do Chesed because of Yonasan. Here it even says, to the house of Shol, I want to do with him Chesed. Why Shol? Because earlier, if you also remember, in Ein Gedi, when David had the chance to kill Shol in the cave, and he did it, and he just cut off his beged, and Shol, as he did a number of times, says, you're going to be the king, I see it now, I'm such a bad guy. And he says, at the end of Perach of Dalet, I see. And then Shol asks David also to swear to him. Don't totally annihilate and cut off my seed. Don't totally wipe out my name. So David not only made a treaty with Yonasan, he had sworn to Shaul that he wouldn't wipe out his family, and he knew there's only very few left. So he's trying to keep his pact regarding that too. So is anyone left? Vayomer Tziva Lamelech. Tziva says, yes, Od Ben Liyonasan Nechei Raglayim. There is one lame son. He was mentioned earlier in Dalad. And there was one lame son. Why? Because when he was when the maidservant, when his woman who took care of him was running away during the battle of the Plishtim, so she fell, and he was injured. Vayomer LaMelech Eifahu, the Melech asks, where is he? Tziva says he's in the house of Machir ben Amiel Bilo Davar. Lo Davar spelled Beis Lamed Vav. To him is a thing, it sounds like it's the name of a place. Chazal Darshan, maybe because of the contrast to the following pasuk. Tziva says he's in Bilo Davar. David HaMelech, Vayishlach HaMelech David. Vayikachei, when he takes him, he beis Machir ben Amiel Milo Davar. Milo Davar, from Lo Davar. Or it also could mean Milo, from the word Malay. Chazal Darshan, that Tziva was really putting down Mephibosheth. We'll see, he is not going to be a faithful servant. We'll see this later in the parak. But Tziva says, oh, he's in Lo Davar, as if to say, he's a nothing. You can read it with an aleph, with a vav, right? He's a nothing. And that's what Rashi says on this Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Nun Vav, that picks up on this. The Gemara there has a machlokas in Rav and Shmuel, whether David accepted Lashon Hara, because later on he trusted Tziva. Either way, not our issue now. But the Gemara says, "Vayomer Tziva l'Melech, Hinehu beis Machir ben Amiel below Davar." Rashi says there, "Eino Chacham b'Torah, v'hu matzo." But David found him below Davar. The Chacham b'Torah. That's the contrast in the two psukim, one after another. Lo Davar, below Davar, with nothing. Milo Davar, right? Full. He's full. Mephibosheth was a big Talmud Chacham, so he is brought there. Vayavo Mephibosheth ben Yonas and ben Shaul. Mephibosheth is brought in front of Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan, the son of Shaul, brought in front of David, and he bows down to him. Why does it go through the whole lineage here? We know exactly who he is. We said earlier in the parak, this was the son of Yonatan. So the Mishmas Ozav quotes that maybe it's to allude to us that Mephibosheth was very nervous. Why was he being brought to David? As the son of Yonatan or as the grandson of Shaul? The son of Yonatan he's nothing to worry about. The grandson of Shaul, maybe it's finally time that David is going to take revenge. Lakachu Muskar Khan, Ben Yehonasan, Ben Shaul, Ki Mephibosheth, Hayim Mestapek, L'shem Mahu Nikrael David, Bitar Ben Yehonasan, Ligmol Imo Tova B'makom Aviv, is it as the son, O Bitur Ben Shaul, as a grandson of Shaul, B'davar Hanakama B'Shaul. Vayomer David, and what does David answer when he comes in? Vayomer David, Mephibosheth. I want to hear from you. You're not here, Bataras, anybody else. You yourself. He gave him Chashivus Bifnei Atzmo. That is what he did. And that's what the Gemara darshins even, that he taught David things. He was a Rebbe. V'hine b'chol ha'psukim ha'oskim b'pikishas David b'pibosheth. And in all of these psukim, it never mentions Melech. When David spoke to Tziva, it says, Vayomer lo ha-melech, Vayomer lo ha-melech, Vayomer Tziva al ha-melech. All of a sudden, Mipivoshes, it keeps just saying, David. Vayomer David, Mipivoshes, Vayomer lo David. Right, it's all David, David. It doesn't say anything about the king. And when he turns back to Tziva, Pasuk Tes, Vayikra ha-melech al Tziva, unbelievably meduyak. That he turns and has different personalities. When he speaks to Tziva, the Eved, he's the Melech. When he speaks to Mephibosheth, he is just David, a good friend of his late father. Vayipol apanav, so Mephibosheth comes in, vayishtachu, and he bows down. Why is he bowing down? So maybe the Rinas Yitzchak says, maybe it's a fulfillment of Kavod Malchus, and it's a Beferish Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Beis Halacha Hey of Hilchas Malachim, HaMelech Mistaper B'chol Yom. We know a king has to get a haircut every single day. The Gemara in Tainus, Kohanim once a month, Kohen Gadol once a week, and a king every day. Umisakein Atzmo, Umisnae B'levushin Mefuarin. He's got to look good. Shenemar Melech B'yafyo Techazena Einecha. The king has an obligation to look beautiful, so there's Mora Malchus. V'yoshev Akisei Malchus B'platrin Shalo, and he sits on his throne. It is a chiyah for the king to do, to put himself into a position of getting covered. The Yosheva, again, umesim keser barosho, he puts his crown on. The chalam ba'inei la ba'esha yirtse. The people come when he wants. V'omdin lefanav, umishtachavim arza. It's beferish. You have to bow down to a king. Afilu navi, omeid lefnei ha-melech umishtachav lo arza. Even the navi has to stand up in front of the king and bow down. Shene'emar, hinei nasan ha-navi, vayavo lefnei ha-melech. Vayishtachu lemelech al panav arza. Right, that's the showing malchus. Av a kohen gadol eino ba lefnei hamelech el imratza. The kohen gadol doesn't have to appear in front of a king. Bid omei lefanav el hamelech omei lefnei kohen gadol. The only person that the king does not have to, show the respect to a king in terms of this hishtachavaya is the kohen gadol. V'yafal pikein, even though that's meikra din, the Rambam says, Aval pikein mitzvah al kohen gadol l'chabed es ha-melech u'lohoshivo v'lamod mipanav kishiyavolo v'lo yamod ha-melech lefanav v'lakshish alo v'rishvada urim v'chulu. But this is all possibly why Mephibosheth knew this halach, and he bowed down to the king, bowed down to David v'yishtachu. V'yomer David Mephibosheth, v'yomer hinei avdecha, yes, I am here. And the Metzulas David again says that he was very nervous. Why is he calling him? He was worried about Nekama. V'yomer lo David altira, don't worry. Don't worry, ki aso e'eseh imcha chesed, b'avar Yonasan avicha. I will do chesed due to what I owe your father, Jonas, on Vashivosi Lacha, as Koste Shaul Avicha, I will return to you, or all the fields of your father Shaul, V'yata Tochal Lechem Al Shulchani Tamid. I'll return to you all the fields, and I will give you, you will always eat bread at my table. 2 points. Number one, Tziva, let's just first start with what's discussed in the Rishonim here. And that's the Radak's question, and Rashi's question partially. What's the chesed that David is doing? If it's field that belongs to Shaul, so it goes Yerusha. So now it belongs to Mephibosheth. So what exactly is the chesed that David is doing? He's going above and beyond? No, this is like Hashava Saveda. This is like Hashava of what belongs to Mephibosheth rightfully. So what exactly is the chesed that is being done? So, says the Radak, 2 points. Number one, it could be that everything passed to David HaMelech. Everything, all the malchus, right? The Malbim here even says, then we'll get back to the Radak. The Malbim says there are really, put these two together, there are really two elements of the property of a king. He has his personal property, and then he has the malchus property, what he gets as, it's like similar to the White House. The White House doesn't belong to any personal president. He has it while he's president, but then afterwards it goes to the next president. So says the Malbim, that's also, there's a hevdol bein kinyani ha-melech va'achuzaso minachlas avosav, that's like any private person, ubein kinyani ha-melech shahayilo michuki ha-melucha, sados krumim hon va'otzros. So maybe that's what David is doing. He's giving back some of the sados that were really mishpat, the kinyani hamalchus, and that's really his. But he's saying, I want to give some to Shaul. So, and Shaul's descendants, number one. Number two, suggests the Radak, it could be that Shaul had the status of a morid b'malchus. And for sure, Ishbosheth maybe might have had that status, right? When David was becoming king, Avner made him king. So maybe he had the status of Morba Malchus. And in Morba Malchus, all the property goes to the king. Says the Radak, V'tachin Lefarish, ki David zacha bechol nach l'shol. David was zocha in all of it. Lefish Ishbosheth, who beis shol ha'im Morba Malchus. Because they knew David was going to be the king. V'nim shach al pi Hashem, u'morba Malchus, hu v'chol nachas en eschayvu. And because it was really his, so that's why a second shot. of the chesed that David HaMelech was doing. That's a little difficult in the end. Oh, by the way, why is that a problem? Because that's only l'chora, the Rinas Yitzchak points out, if your judge is Amor B'malchus. If the king judges you and you're punished, so then Memela, the property goes to the king. But here they weren't punished. At least David didn't punish. Hashem punished. But David didn't punish. So, a little tricky to say whether that's a regular case of Morid B'malchus. The Rinas Yitzchak, though, here, Rivizlas Raza goes through a halakh discussion. Maybe there was Yeyush. And there's a discussion that we showed him whether there's Yeyush Bakarka. Right, we're talking about he gave up hope and Memela, it became Hefker. And that's why David is giving it back because it really didn't belong to him anymore. And if you say, there's no real Yesh by Karka, but other Rishonim say, but if the Bailim's name is not connected to it anymore, then even that would work. Even if you say normally Yesh doesn't work by Karka. If Nishtaka Shem Bailim Imenamutter. And here he's been in hiding. So it was Nishtaka Shem Bailim. So it belongs to the one who finds it. That might be David. And he's giving it back. It's all different days about what exactly is the chesed that David is doing. You might see in general, he's doing the chesed of what it really does belong to him, but he's just getting it back to him. Okay, so that's what he says, I'm going to do that. Vayishtachu, and he bows down again, pasachas. Vayaramevdecha, he says, what am I? Kifanisa lakelav amesa sharkamoni. I'm like a dead dog. A lushan of anava. This seems to be very popular wording of anava or lowliness that we have had a number of times. We just had a couple of prakim ago when Avner was accused by Ishboshes of being with the pilakshim of his father. Avner says, am I a dog? Right before he went over to David's side. So he screams at Ishboshes, Paragimel, Pasik, Ches. He says, what do you think I am? He doesn't say a dead dog. He says, Harosh Kelav Anochi, Asher Li Yehuda Hayom, Esaches Nebishol, I've helped you out, and this is what you do? So that's what Avner says. Am I that? David HaMelech says it himself to Shaul. Well, maybe that's where it came from. It's connected. David says it to Shaul in Perachav Dalid when he's trying to get David not to chase him. He says, who are you chasing? I'm in nothing. Why are you chasing me? Perachav Dalid, Pasik Tezvav. David HaMelech says, stop it. Acharei mi yatsa melech Yisrael. Acharei mi ata rodef. Acharei kelev meis. That's an exact parallel lashon. He says, I'm a kelev meis in front of you. What David had said to his grandfather earlier. Finally, the other time we have had this in Sefer Shmuel so far is by Goliath. That's what Goliath calls David. All connected to David. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Mem Gimel, he says, who are you sending me? Hakelav Anochi, ki ata boi lai b'maklos. I'm sorry, he calls himself. He says, am I a dog? That you're coming to me with a little with sticks and with nothing when David is coming out. That's a lashon. Lashon of calling him themselves or someone else, Hakelav. Vayikra Hamelech El Tziva. And the Melech calls to Tziva and says, okay, everything that was to Shaul, I'm giving to the son of your master, which might be referring to his master, Ibn Yehonah's son, and it's referring to Mephibosheth, or it's referring to the son, not only of Mephibosheth himself, but his son, who Pasuk Yud Beis mentions that Mephibosheth had a young son named Micha. And that's what David is saying, Tziva and all of his family have to take care of the entire family, Mephibosheth and Micha. It seems like from the Psukim that this Evan now also belongs to Mephibosheth. And that also is a halachic discussion of Evan Kenani. The Gemara tells us that an Evan Kenani goes down to the, an Avadim goes and becomes the sons, even though usually an Eved, you would say, is not really property in their normal sense, and it's not Niknes B'Yerusha, but the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra, and discussing Kiddushin as well, says that there is another type of Yerusha. It's not even really Yerusha. Rav Shechter in Siman Lamed Aleph in Eretz Tzvi writes, he calls this Beis Dine Yerusha. One din Yerusha of inheritance is normal. Mitzad Nachlas Mishpacha. Mitzad, the Yerusha going down. Ubataras Karbi Mishpachas Av, the closest paternal relative, gets it. Mishpachas Av, Kruya Mishpacha. But then there's a second type of Yerusha, which is called Bra Kara Davuha. The son, it's not that the property goes down, but it's that the child goes up. Bra Kara Davuha, he goes into the feet of his father. Shahayorish, into the shoes. Shahayorish, Kam Tachtav, Dahamorish, Va'omei Bimkomo. He's in his spot. and this is a nafkamina for kama for various inyanim. It has to do with Eved Ivri, right? This Eved Kanani is passed down based on a pasuk. Based on a pasuk, if it's Nacham, I'll tell Lareshes Achuza. If Necham Achrechem Lareshes Achuza, right? It's a pasuk that tells me that an Eved Kanani is passed down. But in the world of Avadim, let's see, when we talk about Eved Ivri, he's also passed down, but that's not Petoras Yerusha. Because Eved Ivri is not Nitfas b'Mechira or b'Yerusha. The Gemara says a Kiddushin Yud Zayin. But he is still passed down because of the halacha of Brak Haradavua. Nothing to do with regular Dine Yerusha. And that's why Shachter there quotes a number of Nafkaminas. Where else do you see this? He says, what about a husband Yarshining a wife? There's no blood between them. There's not a bloodline. Yerusha has to be paternal. Yerusha's Avkuri Mishpacha. So explains Ubal Karchav Sarach Lomar the Din Yerusha Sabal who Mikoach Zesh Abal Kamta Chazishto VeOmi Bimkoma. He is in the place of his wife Upshita Dani Yerusha Bekever LaHanchal Yerushavu, and that's why it wouldn't go to his relatives if he's not around. Let's say he predeceased her. There's a concept of Yerusha Bekever that would only apply by regular Rusha. It wouldn't apply by this because here it's Kam Tachas to go in the spot of the. Of the Morish. And there are other nafkaminas as well. How could a son yarshin his mother? Again, there's no mishpachas ha'av. That must be the second din of Yerusha. A brakara davu, and he could be in the place of his mother as well. The Or Sameach also discusses this type of idea that sometimes you have a property being passed down, but it's not in the normal world of Yerusha. He has the suffix, nistapakti, in all these types of cases. Tahanachmili dein bin yorish mitaras nachla. For example, in Eved. Do you say that a Bechor gets pishnayim in the non-normal Yerusha context or not? That's his suffix. That's his suffix. And he proves it from a Gemara Nazir, the end of Perek Dalet, where the Gemara discusses whether a man could use the karbonos or the money set aside for his father who had been a Nazir. And the Gemara discusses that. That's not regular Dina Yerusha. And the Gemara has a possibility that the Bechor could get Pishnaim there. So you see, there's a concept of Pishnaim even outside the world of Yerusha. But in any case, this Eved belongs to Mipi Boshes. And whether it started off as Shoals or as Yonasans, but now it belongs to him, Tziva is in charge. One final point, the Mishpat Zov points out in the name of Achronim that this is somewhat ironic. Shaul, what happened to him? What was the biggest major aver that he did? A number of them, but the major one why he was killed in the way that he was killed is because he wiped out the city of Nov. And he massacred them because he was so nervous about being the king. He was so nervous about David taking over. And what does it come to? Mida Keneged Mida? He's relying, his descendants are relying on Avadim in order to survive. The Avadim of the Melech are the ones that keep the Melech alive. He was so nervous, but this is part of the Nimida Keneged Mida that he had to suffer as part of his punishment. Okay, we'll stop here. That show will continue next time with more discussions and occurrences that happened to David HaMelech.